End times. I'm sure you've heard that expression a number of times in recent months, especially. The end of time. Reconsidering what time is. There's nothing but war, hatred, polarity. Everyone who loves peace wants to do something about it. I'm sure many of you have heard this sort of call to action in 2020. You are starting to awaken, expand, grow your spiritual gifts, and you feel a call to action, but you don't quite understand what the call is. You know that you have a part to play that will be detrimental to the continuation of humanity. We are given a framework that keeps our mind limited in the scope of what we believe is possible. For those of you that, like myself, are interested in the quantum field of infinite possibilities and the law of attraction, the other universal laws to make the universe work in your favor, we know that the immediate choices presented to us in our reality are not the only choices made available. What would be something that could actually stop war, stop the killing, stopping time? Now, you've probably heard in the Bible some reference to a time of war and a time of peace. We don't want peace through war or peace that is bought for money. Stopping time means pulling the rug out from under the feet of our old civilization. Taking away the confusing calendar. We want real peace. We are tired and exhausted and heartbroken. We want that peace to be for more than just 1 minute or even just 1 day. We want peace all the time. After the war to end all wars is over, we will want peace forever. Which is simply a construct to fuel capital, corporate America, capitalism, our endless life on the hamster wheel of productivity and money. The negative feelings I have about time and the negative emotions time triggers in me. We know that all we really have is the present moment. We know that even the past and the future are all simultaneously existing. Think about the way we talk. I'm just clocking on, clocking off work. I've got some time to kill. I'm doing time. What are we really saying? Doesn't that sound incredibly destructive? And of course, you've probably never considered this idea. Neither have I until I read this book, which I will include in the description for you guys to share. What's being presented to you now is a time to stop thinking about it. It is now time to consider stopping time, looking around you now and considering the alternative. To stop time is to give ourselves the opportunity to pause in our tracks and then change direction. Like a train switching tracks. All of our life, we've been taught this linear timeline of things that A leads to B, B leads to C, C leads to D, etc., etc., etc. One choice leads to the next. However, we've noticed that when we're having fun, time seems to fly. When we're stuck at work doing the things that are killing our soul, time drains on endlessly. How is it that we have a mechanical clock that dictates time in a linear fashion? However, we also know that, as quantum physics teaches us, one choice does not just lead to the next point. Each choice point in time leads to an infinite number of possibilities and choices. If we, for example, wake up and we choose our breakfast, say we're trying to attain our goal weight at the end of the year, and If we choose our breakfast, we have either an apple or Fruit Loops. And personally, I love Fruit Loops. But if we're working towards creating the reality that we wish to experience, the apple might lead to taking the stairs, you know, upon entering the office. And then from there, we're motivated to fill up our water jug a few more extra times. And from there, we decide to walk home instead of take the bus. Alternatively, if we throw ourselves off track right in the morning and go for the Fruit Loops, we face the sugar crash and then we buy the coffee to spike our energy. And then from there, we get a headache. So we just order takeout for lunch, get an Uber home, and it can also spiral out the other way. The same is raising our vibration. The same is with every single thing we do. It is now time to consider stopping time. And the new direction is constructive harmony, creative peace, and the second creation. It could be that we're at a crossroads and stopping time and changing calendars is God's way of giving us a choice. Hell or heaven on earth? If you consider that a calendar is a program that creates a spell, take away the calendar and break the spell. Just see what happens when you do this. One easy stroke and the old spell will be broken. What if I told you that we've been steering our ships with a compass that is broken? Living our lives around the stress and pressure of this mechanical ticking clock that never seems to have enough time. Time, in essence, is money, which also creates the fundamental collective consciousness of lack and scarcity. A new calendar of 13 perfect moons of 28 days each. And will there be to cast a spell of harmony and peace? The kind of world we could create if we understood one fundamental point, the nature of time and its effect on our beliefs in the world we create. Naturally, I've asked, what does it mean to stop time? How can you stop time? Isn't time always just going on and on and on and on? Yes, to a certain degree, but there's different kinds of time. Has it occurred to you that your entire sense of time, every day time, the time by which you live, work days and weekends, and all the holidays in between, in fact, all that you believe is a function of the calendar you follow? Now, that's a big chunk to digest. Is it possible that the biblical references to a time of war and a time of peace is also the function of a calendar? And the time of peace might be the function of a new calendar. That is already quite a lot to think about, so let's explore where this idea came from, you know, stopping time and changing the calendar. This idea, like all genuine ideas, came from the experience of a single human. Trust your vision, make it whole. Hold it like the Navajo, his solemn desert shaman vision quest. If you're like me, you have been stressed about time. There's an insatiable need to achieve something or do something, and every day just seems to be slipping from between your fingers, like you're running out of time. You've likely been bored, especially with the global circumstances and the lockdown. Both stress and boredom have to do with the nature of time in which you are living. No matter what you do, it seems that there is not enough time to get something meaningful out of it. Did the source of all creation really intend for time to be an endless treadmill with a periodic paycheck to keep us fueled in between? Whose time are you living? What is time? Time is a river. You can't step into it twice. Time is God's way of keeping everything from happening all at once. Time heals all wounds. Time past is a memory. Time future is a dream. The only reality we have is the here and now. If there is only the here and now, what does it mean that there is no time? What could define time? You know, we can't see, touch, taste, or feel time, but you sense it's happening. Or not happening. These are all what we can call subjective experiences of the time. Do you think living in an artificial environment where you have less and less connection with the sun, moon, stars is good or bad for you? Natural time is the time of nature, the solar system, the galaxy, the universe, the cosmos itself. We've noticed that the birds and animals are governed by the day and night, the sunrise, sunset, as well as the changing seasons. And your body, without having to think too much about it, it seems obvious that there's quite a difference between the time of the city and the time of nature. Is it possible that there is artificial time and that there is natural time? If you're an urban dweller, your time isn't necessarily governed by the moon, the sun, and the stars. It's governed by a calendar and the clock. As long as you know what day of the week it is and what time it is, you don't really need to know when the sun sets or sun rises or what phase the moon is in. Have you ever noticed that there is not an office or schoolroom that does not have a clock or calendar on the wall? Your computer has a clock. Your email comes with a day, month, time stamp, always printed on it. Wherever you can go, you cannot escape the clock. It's literally everywhere. It might also appear on your watch or on the stove. All modern civilization is dependent on the clock, while its days are counted by a 12-month calendar on the wall. Why are we so obsessed with this clock time? And how is the clock time different from natural time? What effects do clock time and the daily calendar have on our mind and lifestyle? If you group together a team of physicists and biologists, astronomers, and ask them about time, they would get into a heated discussion that would likely have no end. The biologists would talk about internal clocks and the circadian rhythms. The physicists would talk about anything from the arrow of time to the idea that time is an illusion and a psychological prop or merely the experience of duration. Some might mention the fourth dimension. Others might ponder over the metrics of space and time. The astronomers would talk about time in relation to the evolution of the stars. And the quantum physicists would talk about the particles that jump time. If a parapsychologist were there, he or she might discuss precognitive time. Now, one thing's for certain. Amongst a group of such advanced researchers, there would likely be little. Maybe time is more important to you than you originally thought. What if time is a tool of consciousness that can help you overcome feelings of helplessness, boredom, stress? Maybe time is something that you need to know about your spiritual survival. I need my own time. How many times have you heard someone make that statement? Or how many times have you perhaps said it yourself? What do you do when you have your own time? The reason you want your own time is because there is too much of someone else's time in your face. You need to be alone, alone with your soul, which is really what you say when you need your own time. It's an interesting point. To be alone with your soul should be the most important value of your life. You are born alone with your soul, and when you die, it's your soul alone that goes with you. Yet we struggle and find time to just be, spend some quality time with our soul and listen to our soul. Quality time. It's also an expression we use a lot. Now, what does that really mean? That there is no quality in the rest of your time? But what would you say if your soul says to you, look, all I want is quality time. I thrive on quality time. And when you give me quality time, it is usually very superficial because you're so hemmed in by the clock time. Would you think that your soul is being too demanding? Or does it kind of have a point? It is your soul and the quality of the time that you give it that determines what you get when you get to the end of the journey, right? So who is more demanding? Your soul that says, give me all the quality time you can give, and I will give you the quality experience like you can never imagine. Or is it more demanding from your ego to say, I need my time to make money so I can get the time I need to give my soul what it needs, Do you see the distortion there? It seems like we're caught in some kind of trap. Do you think Source, our universal creator of everything, wanted us to forget our soul and take out little increments of quality time to it? Sort of like a credit card. Oh, just make that sacrifice, take a little bit more away. We'll pay it back when, you know, we have our riches, and that never comes, right? It's merely an illusion. We are taking out time on credit. And we are so in debt to ourselves and our soul. Of course, it's natural to say, well, I have no choice. This is what society demands, right? But what about the law of free will? Are we slaves? A slave of what or whom? Who owns your time, owns your mind? Own your time and you will know your mind. If you want to be in good condition, my friend, at the end of the journey, it is essential that you better pay attention to what your soul is trying to tell you now. You cannot ignore this any longer. Your everyday waking consciousness time, it is the only time you get straight and real with your soul. To do this, you must understand one essential point. Time is not a money thing. Time is a spiritual thing. And until you understand what it means to lose your soul, and in losing your soul, you lose yourself. I promise you, it's not something you want to do. Time is a totally spiritual thing. That is why you cannot see, taste, or touch it. You can only feel it. Registers in your heart and soul. It's not like space, which is a material thing. You can touch it, taste it, feel it. You can get addicted to it. That's what creates materialism. So naturally, it's easy to develop a liking for the material plane because, I mean, it's so fleeting. We're constantly just chasing that microsecond of dopamine rush and feeling half okay. But you don't totally understand how the material plane is ruled by time, and time is a spiritual thing. Time is spirit's tool to do whatever God commands. So when you give into boredom or get stressed, you are actually denying the spiritual reality of time to benefit you. When you are bored and don't know what to do with your time, you are being blind to the fact that your soul is screaming to you, talk to me. Don't be bored, connect with me. It's soul time, not boredom, when you've got time on your hands. Let's look at time and our mind, shall we? Do you really think you can use something like a clock and you won't be affected by your mind? The calendar on your wall, do you really think it hasn't affected your mind? Try to imagine a world without April or July 4th or December 25th. You know, these dates are very important to us. But do you know that they exist nowhere but simply in our mind? A tree doesn't know April or July 4th. A rock could care less. If you go to Neptune, April won't mean a thing. Yet it is so deeply a part of your mind and everybody else's mind that can read in a scientific magazine statements like, on December 24th, you know, 75 million BC, in the Jurassic, a petrodactyl landed on a swamp only to be attacked by a killer Tyrannosaurus. But the thing is, like, do you really think September 24th existed or was counted back then? What kind of foolishness are we believing? This is just to illustrate how insidious this calendar is and how it's become so much of a part of our mind that people actually think it's entrained the universe. Yet most people don't even know that the calendar has only been around for like 400 years. 2,000 years, if you count its predecessor, the Julian. But do you know what 2,000 is? 2,000 years is in the history of the Earth, which is more than 4 billion years old. It's a sprinkle of, like, dust. So what? Well, don't you care that your mind is kind of on par with the care of your soul? Do you know how much you put into your mind without even questioning it? If we had a house and strangers just kept coming in every day and flopping down all over the place, using the kitchen, not even being caring about, you know, who was there or how you like to maintain your home. How would you feel? Would you just accept them without questioning where they even came from? This is the same with your mind when we just accept things without asking why. You are given information from authorities and institutions, and we blindly accept it. This is dogma. It's just like all of those strangers that came into your living room. Once they are there, they won't just leave. To get rid of them, you have to make an effort. You have to shout to maybe even push them out the door. Dogma is bad for your mind for two reasons, right? First of all, just being in your mind, it takes up mental space and keeps other fresh thoughts from happening. It prevents you from getting those bursts of inspiration, those creative impulses. It prevents you from being present with the people that you love. That piece of dogma also could be like a stopper on the door, and you can no longer open that door to your mind. The accepted information is taking up valuable space, and often we don't even know it. And then there's the content of dogma itself. That is literal mental poison. Whether you know if it is true or not, or maybe it's something totally arbitrary, still, we take it for real, believing it to be true, and when something else comes along that questions or upsets it, we often defend it, this piece of dogma. Then what if some of the information that you have accepted is second-hand reality? What if some of that information is even erroneous? Yet you accept it like it's second nature. What do you think will do to your mind? What if somebody gives you a ruler and it has uneven units of measure on it? And you even acknowledge these uneven units, their irregularity is still dismissed by saying, it's okay, we've been using this for centuries, you know, it works okay, don't worry about it, it's too late to change it anyway, everyone does it. So you go ahead and you take that ruler part of your mind and you use it all the time. What kind of reality do you think is created with such a ruler? This is exactly the case with that calendar we use, the Gregorian calendar. You probably don't even know why it's called the Gregorian calendar. Neither did I up until now. The point is, when you accept anything without questioning it, and it becomes a bedrock reality for you, you are warping your mind. The concept of time that is enshrined in that calendar, not to mention the concept of time you think is ticking away on that clock, has a profound effect on the mind. Not just on your mind, but virtually the mind of every single human being on the planet. And what if this very simple yet very, you know, main part of our play, if you want to call it that, what if the entire main concept is wrong? I know. Once again, I always will acknowledge the fact that I am the idealistic dreamer, rose-colored glasses, but, you know, somebody has to play the part. Not to mention, given the global circumstances, is there even any room left for pessimism? You mean to tell me that the whole human race could be wrong or in error about this major thing? I completely recognize this is quite outlandish, but whether or not, you know, that thought is outlandish, what kind of reality do we create when our mind is in error about something? I'm sure you've heard the adage, as a man thinks, he so becomes. And if a person uses a standard of measure that is crooked or warped, wouldn't that person become crooked too? And won't the whole world he or she creates then also become crooked? Say a person is trying to get somewhere, but they don't know that his compass is off by like 2 degrees, something, you know, fairly menial. When they set sail, they're going to get anywhere but the destination. And even if somebody on the ship is like, hey, your compass is way off, man. The guy in charge, not wanting to, you know, contradict his belief, would rather accuse him for, you know, having such treasonous thoughts and, you know, who knows, lock him up in jail for impudence. But that's precisely how people in power treat others who question dogma. And the ship continues sailing in the wrong direction. You've probably thought about your mind. You've probably even tried some meditation practice. You may take these ideas I'm sharing with you, and as you sit watching your mind, you might kind of dissolve them. And I'd say that's fair. That is just more thoughts. In absolute reality, nothing is real and all thoughts are devoid of substance. So what does it even matter? And then when you get up from your meditation cushion, you look at your watch and realize you're late once again for your next appointment, and your heart starts to race, forgetting that you are just in a total dispassionate state of mental nirvana. Who is running you, your mind or your watch? And I'd say it's perfectly fair to counter this with the assumption that, oh, we could never stop the time. Perhaps you're not even convinced that the time affects your mind and that there are different kinds of time. Bob Marley, like myself, was an idealist, a dreamer. Maybe your mind is still too saturated with the platitudes about time. Why do we have an 8-hour work day, which a good portion of the population dutifully fulfill? Who are you anyway, really? Are you performing for yourself, or are you just on the cog, on a big gear wheel, moving in tandem with a great many lesser and larger gear wheels, part of this large machine called civilization? See, life is a set pattern. The basis of this pattern is a little 7-day deal called a week. And a week is the same pattern for everyone, more or less. It's got 5 days for work and something called a weekend before it just repeats itself again. Where did this come from? And how long has this been going on? Blue Monday, oh, case of the Mondays. How I hate Monday. Of course, that is the first day of the five-day work week. So otherwise, it wouldn't be so blue, I'm sure. Monday through Friday, for most employed people, as well as schools, public, and government institutions, is the work week, and then comes Saturday and Sunday, the weekend. The work week is ruled by the clock, which is also why it's referred to as the 9 to 5. So Saturday and Sunday should at least be some soul time, right? But is it? And perhaps, you know, there's Sunday church for maybe an hour. And I just want to say, if you're feeling uncomfortable about all of this, then I'd say that's a really good sign that we're getting close to the truth. In fact, time is all we have to work or play with. It's a medium of creation. And how come we find so little of our own time? And when we do, we want to kill it. All I'm trying to point out is that you do not own your own time. It doesn't matter if no one else you know doesn't own their time either. Why do you suppose that is? And what does it mean? And is there some relation between the fact that you don't own your time and your feeling of powerlessness in the face of what is actually happening in the world today? So you don't have the opportunity every day of really getting a good look at your time or the time of your life as it really is. Most people in society, what is it really all about, weekends? It's about killing more time. If you're not catching up on the errands that you couldn't do because you were too busy, stuck at the 9-to-5 job, if it wasn't for television, this stuff wouldn't be so big, but it all goes hand in hand. Television, the weekend, and the big time sports. It's all part of the same thing. And sure, there's, you know, other people that are going to go do something else. They enjoy going to the movies, or maybe they go skiing on the weekends, go dancing, gambling down at the casino, or they watch, you know, Netflix. Maybe they even take a self-help workshop. It doesn't matter, because then it's going to be Monday again and the whole sequence repeats. The point is, your whole show, the literal time of your life, does reduce down to this weekly pattern. And it's killing us. You are putting your soul in a 7-day straitjacket. And when the soul suffocates, you only get more bored and need more distractions and more temporary fixes to make you feel half okay. Do you see what is going on? You're hardly even alive, because it's your soul that really lives. And if you are not giving your soul the time it needs, then time is killing you, which means that the time of the calendar and the clock that is embedded in your mind has full and utter control over you. Now, as they say in the 12-step program, I admit that I was powerless over the time I have blindly accepted all of my life. Congratulations. We have now entered the first step to empowerment in taking back our time. Then you're likely going to be spending it with sports and entertainment, am I wrong? You know, football, basketball, baseball, big time. If you're in the rest of the world, soccer, very big time. Seeds to plant as food for thought. Beginning the path in pursuit of the knowledge of time, the law of time. Now, in any honest facing up to what is really going on in our world, we have to start with ourselves. We can't change the macro if the micro is a sheer and utter disaster. And I say this with the most loving undertone implied, because in order for this collective world outlook to change, we each have to be radically honest with ourselves and accountable for our part that we played in this mess. Changing our attitude is the first step to changing the world on the greater scale, becoming the change we want to see. So we've already talked about quality time, and real quality time being soul time. How do you get down with your soul? First of all, you just have to make space for it. And I'm telling you right now that your ego is going to scream no. It's going to distract you. It's going to, you know, it's going to fight you. But do it anyway and just see what happens. I invite you, and I challenge you to the task. To do this, you've got to get to a, you know, just a quiet corner and just literally sit there. Stare at the wall if you have to. Do see how your mind is racing along almost in a panic to, like, oh God, let me just desperately avoid myself. And don't judge those thoughts, but embrace them and look at them. Who is even thinking them? What are they trying to do? What are they running for so bad? They're trying to keep you from being absolutely at peace with your own soul. So to listen to what your soul has to say, you have to quiet your mind and sit up straight, take a deep breath, and exhale. You can literally say out loud to yourself that you are exhaling all of those distracting thoughts that are keeping you from hearing your soul to talk to you. All you really want to do is hear what your soul has to say to you. It may take a while, but if you keep exhaling all those busy thoughts when they come up, it'll happen. As we close this first introductory exploration, let's call it, I'm going to leave you with a few seeds. You can also pray if that aligns with your belief system. You know, whether you're asking God, Source, or the universe, just say, I need to get down with my soul, and I need to hear what my soul has to say to me. Please give me peace of mind so my soul can tell me what it wants to do with its time. What you want to do, once you are experiencing that little bit of quiet, is to allow your soul to tell you about time, your time, and open a path in pursuit of the knowledge of time. If you began this experience with acknowledgement of your powerlessness over the time you had blindly accepted, you want a path to knowledge about real time, you know, soul time, natural time. And what does your soul have to say about this? Remember, this is all about stopping time, and the first place to stop it is in yourself. Stopping the old time, that is. That also means stopping all the old programs that are running you by the clock and the calendar that you never really understood. And that's why we slow down, and you might want to ask yourself then, why is my mind even going so fast? Where am I going if I'm already here? Does my racing mind also have to do with time? Why do I always feel so rushed, like I never have enough time? And that's it. Let's get down to some real soul searching and fearless honesty. It's a beautiful experience, really, if you allow yourself to have it. How can you feel you don't have enough time? Enough time for what? If time is all you really have and you don't have enough of it, what is going on? And that gets us back to this essential point. Whose time are you on? If you're not alone and everybody's on the same time, and yet it is so unsatisfactory for most people, maybe we should learn a little bit more about what is really going on. I also invite you to write a few things down. A few journal prompts to ask yourself a few questions and see if you can answer them. When did I first learn about the calendar? What was I taught about it? Do I know it? Why it's called the Gregorian calendar? What was I taught about it? Do I know what phase the moon is in? When was the last time I saw a full moon? When was the last time I saw a sunrise? And when was the last time I saw a sunset? How many stars can I recognize in the sky? What are equinoxes, and when do they happen? What are the solstices, and when do they happen? And please, by all means, don't be afraid of your ignorance. How can you learn anything new if you weren't ignorant about something in the first place? You know, by taking the time to answer these questions, you're quite literally placing yourself on a path. And the path is all in your control. It's in the pursuit of the knowledge of the law of time. Probably by the answers to keep these questions, you learned a little. You also learned what ignorance, acceptance of a dogma can keep you in. And you can consider why I should be so ignorant about time anyway. Like, who benefits from that? Now, here's the bonus question. And I would love to hear your answers. So please do leave a comment or send me an email. hello@nirvana-collective.com. You can find me at Instagram at Nirvana Mel, M-E-L. The bonus question, the million-dollar question, what is the relationship between time and money and the fact that I have so little time? And if you really want to be enlightened and free, you're going to want to do something about your powerlessness. An honest assessment of our ignorance is the beginning. Only from there can we even begin to construct a path in the pursuit of knowledge of time and initiate a program, the enhancement of our sensitivity to real time, natural time, and the time of the cosmos. After all, you do want to be connected again to the cosmos, don't you? You have to go up in a space shuttle to do that. You don't have to go up in a space shuttle to do that. And you can do it by just being in the flow of natural time. But to be in the flow of natural time, you have to be willing to admit that the time you are living in might be all wrong. And that admission is the first step to taking back our power. Remember, knowledge is power. If you really want to make a difference on the world and really want to make a difference in your own life, make the world a different place,
then the path of pursuit of the knowledge of time will put us all in our hands, the power to do exactly that. In fact, we can become co-creators of time, a new time, the time of peace. You and many others like you, empowered about time, could make all the difference in the world. In our next episode, we will explore some step-by-step beginner points for pursuing our path of the knowledge of time. And in the meantime, your sensitivity to the actual natural time, you'll have to kind of undertake a few experiments. When is the next full moon? And can you go out and find a spot to see it rising? Is there a good place where you can view the sunrise and just go there and really experience it? And I don't mean go and take pictures for social media, but just go and literally be there with it. Same for the sunset, same for the next new moon, and choosing that evening to watch the nighttime sky. Why is that the best time to view the stars? Where is the moon going to appear next, and what time of day? And all right, that's it. We've embarked on a path of power, which is the knowledge of the law of time. And in doing so, we are launching our natural time sensitivity program. Let's keep the ball rolling. By making you a more informed and better person, your empowerment about time is going to make the world a better place. Thank you for tuning into this episode. My name is Melissa Johnston, and I'm the founder of Nirvana Collective. Until next time.